بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أدبني ربي فأحسن تأديبي. Honorable ulama, respected brothers and elders in Islam, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may His choicest blessings be upon our beloved Master, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no stage in the life of a human, and in particular in the life of a believer, that he can become complacent with his progress and achievements. In essence, the effort to better ourselves and improve ourselves is never ending. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in the Quran Kareem, wa'bud rabbak hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, that worship your Lord until death overcomes you. And really speaking, if a person has this desire and urge to improve and better himself spiritually or dunyawi, this person will find any indication from a negative circumstance or from a positive circumstance. A person once said in English very, very clearly that a positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty, and a negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. Luqman alayhi salatu was salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devotes an entire chapter to Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran. And from the wisdom that Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam disseminated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a few and put it into this chapter of the Quran. Amongst the advice which Luqman alayhi salam gave, Ya bunayya aqimi salata wa'mur bil ma'roof wanha anil munkar wasbir ala ma asabak, that, oh my beloved son, establish your salah, ordain good, forbid evil, and persevere from that which may come to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on saying, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ, and do not be unpleasant and hostile to people. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا, and don't walk with arrogance in your stride. Someone asked Luqman alayhi salam, where have you gained such wisdom from? Where did you learn such mannerism from? This is what we are speaking of today. Where did you learn respect and mannerism? So Luqman alayhi salam answered, he said, I learned it from those who lack it. They then asked, can you please elaborate? Can you give us more of an explanation? How did you learn it from those who lack it? He says, every time I see a person doing something despicable or bad or unpleasant, I told myself that this is a wicked act. It is despicable, it is nasty. So how would somebody feel, how would they react if I had to do the same deed? So I kept myself away from it. So from the flaws of people, I learned respect and mannerism. You and I, on the other hand, somebody does bad, we latch onto it, and the whole thing becomes propaganda. We don't learn from the whole circumstance. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has molded me, He has fashioned me, He taught me manners, He taught me mannerism. فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not shortchange me when He taught me mannerism. It is said we have not studied the language of the Quran. To this we have been barred from the fruits that it entails. And we cannot comprehend the basic, what is being told to us. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a great poet. There is a kitab written on his poetry, specifically for his poetry. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, ليس الجمال بأثواب تزيننا إن الجمال جمال الأقل والأدب. It is not exclusive clothes that beautify and adorn us, but rather it is mannerism and intelligence that adds value to human life. And in another couplet, he says, ليس اليتيم الذي قد مات والده إن اليتيم يتيم العلم والأدب. He alone is not that orphan whose biological father has passed away. He too is an orphan who in the presence of his parents is still void of respect and mannerism. And if you have to look into this, how Ali radiallahu ta'ala described a person who is an orphan, I'm afraid this world will be full of orphans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a broad perspective in deen. There's so many aspects that we have. One of it is respect and mannerism. A child when he is born, when he's growing up, for his parents you will have utmost respect. You won't call them by their names, you will call them by a respectful name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inherently put this into a human being. But today it has been thrown out of the window. Now there are certain codes of conduct when it comes to deen. There are many different types of respect and mannerism. And where does it start? It starts from the respect for the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the respect for the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the respect for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the respect for the seniority of people among us. And the list can continue. And every time we seek help and we look for advice and we look for how do we find this respect, how do we inculcate it in our lives, there is no other better example than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Quran and the Sunnah. In the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens us about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. He was called into the court of a tyrant king. He had to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this king. What did he say? الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who created me and he guided me. وَيُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. He sustains me, he nourishes me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And he says, when I become ill, Allah is so kind to grant me shifa. He did not attribute the sickness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it was unpleasant. It's an unpleasant thing. Sickness is unpleasant. So out of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not want to attribute the sickness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that everything comes from Allah. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The good, the bad, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars have written that even though if Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to say that Allah has made me sick and Allah will give me shifa, there was nothing wrong. But due to the respect he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, when Allah grants, when I am sick, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure me. Another example in the Quran, Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know the story. The roof of his house gave in, and all his children were killed in this incident. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Ayyub alayhi salam being afflicted with a disease. So going through this hardship, his wife told him, oh Ayyub, it is now high time for you to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that to relieve you from this little bit of affliction you are going through. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, I don't have, I cannot, it's not appropriate of me, it is not befitting of me to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this affliction. 80 years I was living in prosperity. 8 years of my life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me in a different circumstance. I feel ashamed. I can only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove my affliction once that 8 years of affliction has passed. We all know how the wife is, she carried on. He said, okay, I will ask my Allah. What he said in the Quran? رَبِّ إِنِّي مَسَّنِيَ دُرْ وأنت أرحم الراحمين. That, oh Allah, I am afflicted and you are most merciful. Look at the respect. Is it not said, oh Allah, why me? Why have you chosen me? Why did you afflict me in such a way? Please remove it. No. He said, oh Allah, I'm afflicted. Have mercy on me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked this expression in such a way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam, Inna wajadnahu sabiran ni'mal abdu innahu awwab. We endorse his perseverance. He persevered through all this affliction. Ni'mal abd. There again, the Arabic language, my brothers, there is no adequate words that could translate this. But to simplify it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the most brilliant of my servants. Innahu awwab, he turns to me. Look at Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. He was afflicted, but yet he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get a little bit of prosperity in our lives, we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let the adversity come, ya Allah, why me? Why is it happening to me? Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam was on the boat with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him, he had knowledge of the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him that he should defect this boat. So it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later on, when he was explaining to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he said to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, فَأَرَدْتُ أَنَا عِبَهَا. I defected the boat. He did not say that Allah commanded me. Why? Because his defection was an unpleasant act. He attributed to himself. But when he lifted up that wall for the orphans, what did he say? فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that this wall be lifted because it's an act of kindness. So he referred the act of kindness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the unpleasant act, he referred to himself. What was this? Respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing, the respect for the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Kaaba, the Masjid, the Quran, the Tasbih, and the list can go on. Salim rahmatullah alayh was the grandson of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was once making tawaf. And the king of that time, Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, came to him and he said, Salim, whatever you need, you must ask from me. He gave him a very unpleasant gaze and he said, how dare you ask me? We are making tawaf of the Ka'batullah. This is the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I haven't asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I ask you? So the king immediately realized he made a mistake. Salim rahmatullah alayhi completed his tawaf. He was leaving the haram. The king came to him and said, my apologies. Then he said, you know, Salim, my offer still stands. Anything you need, you ask, I will give. So Salim rahmatullah alayhi replied, are you speaking spiritually or materialistically? He says, no, spiritually, Salim, I'll have to come to you for that advice. But when it comes to material things, anything you ask for, I will give you. Look at his reply. He says, I feel shy to even ask my Allah for material needs in this dunya. How can I ask it from a person in this dunya? Comes to the Quran, also a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the Kalamullah. Many times we see, we teach our students, hold your Quran close to your bosom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون, that only those who are clean and pure should touch the Quran. Now when it comes to the Quran, it is very important to understand, we need to guide our children. Many a times we see the children walking with the Quran, they're holding it on their side. This is disrespectful to the Quran. Once we went for Umrah, we were very young children, and we asked our ustad, that why are the people using the Quran as a pillow? So my ustad told us, they are jahil, they don't understand. The Quran is the kalamullah, it needs utmost respect, it belongs in a high place, not on the floor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a perfect deen. He's given us the example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when it comes to respecting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to show utmost respect. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the last days of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, led the salah. 17 salah was led by Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And once he was performing the salah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming out from his house. Abu Bakr noticed that there was some sort of shuffling happening in the back, so he realized Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making his way to the musalla. So he started retreating. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to him that carry on. So he completed the salah, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and he told him, what happened, Abu Bakr, why were you retreating? He said, ما كان لابن أبي قحافة أن يصلي بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is not befitting, it is not behoving of me, the son of Abu Quhafa, to perform salah in the presence, to lead the salah in the presence of Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. Look at the respect. That is why Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم said he's the best of human beings. The Sahaba had differences, but yet they had the respect for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking, and he came up upon two Sahaba. This riwayah is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. The Sahaba's name was Fudayla bin Ubaid and Ibn al-Wara, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. They were practicing archery. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam patted them on the back. He said, carry on, shabash. Your forefather Ismail alayhi salatu was salam was a great archer. And then he said to Fudayla, oh Fudayla, I'm going to be on the side of Ibn al-Wara and we are going to challenge you. Fudayla immediately put his arrow on the floor. He said, oh Nabi of Allah, if you are on my opposite side, then who am I to challenge? This is the respect they had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has put a lot of effort into putting this deen to us. And we listen to the sunnah. We say, the Imam Sahib is talking, you know, keep your beard, lengthen your beard, wear the topi, wear your kurta. Where is it in the sunnah? We want to question. And if it was the sahaba, sami'na wa ata'na, we hear you, O Rasulullah, we are going to follow. There's never a question. There's never diving into the intricacies of it. But we want to dive and we want to ask questions. Why? Who said so? Which ulama said so? Oh, you know, we don't listen to that alim. But look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum had a difference when it came to the booty of war. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum was of the opinion that the booty of war must be distributed amongst the Muslimin. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was of the opinion that this is waqf. It must be solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. But look at how they held respect for each other. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was laying on his deathbed, people asked him who must take over. He said, give it to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They said, oh Abu Bakr, don't you know that in your time he is so hard upon us? Can you imagine when you close your eyes how hard he is going to be upon us? What did Abu Bakr reply? He says, he's the best of human beings after me. Yet they had their differences, but they respected each other in their differences. Mutual respect and mannerism, how they conducted themselves. Ibn Mas'ud and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also had differences. A person came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he says, oh Abdullah, I want to learn Quran from you, but I learned it from Umar already. He says, then why are you coming to me if Umar has taught you it is enough? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we inculcate this respect and mannerism that we learn from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and from the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam in our lives. And may he make it that we respect our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all ways, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his being, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.